Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. You've reached Jennifer Hill with LA Talk Radio today. Oh my gosh, I'm in work mode still. So anyways, happy Monday today. We are very excited. We have a guest who is a friend of mine, who is an inspiration to people around the world. He was recently written up in Forbes magazine. Joey Primani is an inventor, designer, entrepreneur, and digital artist. He's passionate and creative, and his designs have been called ingenious by Fast Company, charming and incredibly unique by Mashable, and simple and brilliant by TechCrunch. Named, as I mentioned, to Forbes' list of 2016's 30 Under 30 and Business Insider's 25 Under 25 Hot Young Stars in Silicon Valley Tech, he is currently the CEO of Super Future Labs, a mobile startup studio in downtown Palo Alto. So, Joey, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Thanks
so much for having me.
I'm good. I'm so happy to have you on. Joey and I have known one another for a couple of years now, and I remember one of the things that made me think I would love to have you on the show is just that lunch that we had had in Silicon Valley a few years ago where you started teaching me about future talking, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know a little bit about that and how you came to be the icon and the success that you are, working with names big in the business across the board. I'll let you tell them, but tell us how you got into the world of future talking and how you've become such this amazing, blazing icon in the tech world.
Oh, thanks so much, Jen, for having me. I really appreciate it. So basically, I've always been really passionate and love my work of creating beautiful web apps. And, you know, now in technology, we have such a unique opportunity to affect millions of people around the world by coming up with an idea and then launching it to millions of people. And, I've always been, you know, really ambitious and always knew exactly kind of what I wanted by coming out to Silicon Valley and doing this since I was, you know, 8 years old. I was really young and always really passionate about computers and technology and getting into it at an early age and being really supportive by my parents. So that was definitely very helpful. Something that's very, I love the conversation that we had because I have this thing that my friends and I do, we call future talking, and we basically, you know, we'll write down our bucket list of items and things that we want to do and see ourselves as not who we are as a person walking into the room, but the person we want to be.
Wow.
So really kind of visioning your perfect self of, you know, somebody in the future. What are those attributes that you have? Are you confident? Are you successful? What do you look like? You know, these are all kind of things that I've gotten inspiration from working with, you know, really successful people in Silicon Valley, and also from the spiritual community like Oprah and Deepak Chopra that kind of talk about, you know, not who you are today, but, you know, who you want to be. And so basically I have a lot of, I definitely accredit a lot of my success to doing some of these few help, you know, simple tips that basically really helped me, you know, get to where I am today.
Yeah,
some of them are basically, you know, writing down a list of exactly, you know, your bucket list of things that you want to do. And then, you know, basically I always say write your future. So write a press article about your company or about something in your life that you want to achieve. So for instance, even when I was working at Google, when I was 18, I was an intern, I always visioned and manifested and visualized myself walking between the buildings of Google and, you know, seeing myself working with people that I wanted to work with in the room, like creative and smart people, and, you know, leaders at Google and, you know, coming up with ideas. And so I really, like, I'm a very visual person, so I really thought about every detail of, you know, the logo on my backpack from Google and, you know, walking between the buildings. And this was, you know, way before that I actually even started interviewing or working there. And so you kind of live it in your mind before, you know, it happens in real life. And so this is why people say, like, you know, it's kind of the spiritual side, like almost like The Secret, where you are thinking about something that you want, and then, you know, you kind of visualize it and manifest it. And and then another example of this is when I started my first company, and I basically wrote a TechCrunch article, you know, like word for word, exactly what I wanted it to be, who I wanted to raise the funding from, you know, raises $3 million from X, Y, and Z. And then I made it look, I photoshopped it, so I made it look like an actual tech, you know, like a TechCrunch article. And then I sent it out to my friends and family saying that this is, you know, like a future talking thing.
That's awesome.
And basically, yeah. You know, my good friend, you know, we basically bounce these off of each other because these are the people that we want to be, right? So we, you know, send that to each other. And then literally a year and a half later, almost, I kid you not, like word for word, it was like the same exact article
that was written in TechCrunch.
When I first read it.
Wow.
Exactly. So you can basically do this with anything in your life. You don't have to just do it with career, but anything that you want, even relationships. So there's a really good, funny example.
The Kanye one? Yeah, tell them about that. You just told me that the other day, and I couldn't believe it. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, so I was basically watching this interview with Kanye West, and he said that he knew he always wanted to be with Kim Kardashian, even before, like, anybody knew about her. This was 10 years ago. He was like, who is this Kim Kardashian girl? He didn't know who she was. And so basically he got, you know, every year the Kardashians do like their annual Christmas card. And so he basically took their Christmas card and photoshopped himself into it next to her.
That's awesome.
And so it's a really good way of, even this Forbes list thing is something that I photoshopped and, you know, I put on, this is about 3 years ago, like, cause this is kind of like my mood or my vision board. And what I do is basically if you don't know Photoshop, is okay, but you could also draw it. You basically
use a magazine, yeah,
cut
whatever
and paste
you need.
It, you know, like even on magazines, but then I put it on my Tumblr, and then it's kind of my own private Tumblr. So it's kind of like where I'm going, like the people that I want to meet or, you know, things that I want to have in my life. And it doesn't have to be specific things. They could be X, Y, and Z, but they can, you know, they could be like attributes. So I want to be, you know, well-respected. I want to be, you know, well-trusted. I want to work with creative people that I'm stimulated with every day, you know, mentally, spiritually, you know, whatever it might be. So, you know, I think I've definitely done this a lot, and, you know, it's kind of taking on like parts of The Secret. And even Oprah, she had this amazing interview where she basically said she wanted her house in Santa Barbara, and she would imagine every single detail of that house before she actually ever got it. She would imagine who would my dinner party guests be, you know, who are the people that are coming to my house to, you know, I could throw events at, what do the shingles look like on the border of the home, like very, very detailed things that you could see, you know, like
visualize.
Living in your mind.
You know, it's funny that one thing that I've noticed where a lot of people will attempt to future talk, or they will attempt to vision board or do these different things. But where I find people get stuck is they are too vague. They'll say, I want a beach house, mm-hmm. or I want to have a successful company. Where I think what you're talking about that's really powerful is you're talking about visualizing the specific thing that you want, not just some vague variation of it.
Yeah, and there's actually a few very specific tricks to doing this. Actually, you taught me some of this stuff, too. But, like, you basically said the universe does not know not.
Yes,
right? So
true.
The universe, so if you're putting it out there that you're sitting in traffic and you say, I do not want traffic.
Exactly.
The universe does not know not. So you got to say,
I want
clear, open lanes.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. So clear, or green lights. If you're going through stop lights, you say green lights instead of, you know, thinking
right.
no traffic.
And
it
so sometimes you got to tune your mind to kind of think this way. It takes like, a few seconds to kind of reprogram it. You know, instead of I do not want to be sad, you say I want to be happy, right? So you always have to think of like the positive, because it could snowball, you know, the negative too. So you got to make sure that you are putting like good intentions out there that are the positive intentions.
And watch out from using words then, like maybe, because that's where so many times people are so afraid of actually having wild success beyond their dreams.
Right.
And so they'll use words like maybe or try, or they will insert those things into their vision boards or into their languaging. And what I found is the minute you use words like not, no, maybe, try, should, it disempowers you rather than empowers you, and you still don't get the results you want, which then gives you an excuse to be lazy and not go after your dreams.
Yeah, and I also find it more effective, instead of saying, I want a Lamborghini type of thing, you say, I have a Lamborghini. So you already, okay, so according to, there's a lot of like physicists that talk about this, Mitch Shukok is a big one, Brian Greene, these guys that believe in the multiverse theory. So basically the multiverse theory states that, you know, we are in our universe right now, there's one version of ourselves, but then on top of us, there's infinite versions of ourselves going on at the same time on top of us right now. So little things that even, you know, if I would have went left, you know, going out of the door today instead of going right, that causes a whole different, you know, universe
reality
to happen.
Yep.
Or even, you know, you can imagine, you know, a whole world where, you know, even the Twin Towers are still there, or, you know, somebody made president, or even that you're president, in, you know, in another multiverse. So what you have to believe is that these multiverses are going on top of us right now. So it's our opportunity and our mind to be able to cross through these multiverses, you know, like in your head, it sounds, you know, pretty science fiction and things like that. But if you really believe this, then you could say like, okay, I'm living my perfect self, like in this multiverse. And I see that person, who that person is, that version of myself. And then I can merge with that, you know, person. And I could literally, you know, by visualizing and doing exactly what we're saying and manifesting, we can merge
these together
and become that person.
You know, it's great, Joey, that you just touched on, that I just learned about from one of my spiritual advisors a couple weeks ago, is I have it pull up on my phone now every Tuesday morning. It says, borrow from your perfect self. So if you're in the midst of a meditation, we have a perfect version of ourselves out there where, like you said, whether it's in a multiverse or whatever you might believe from a spiritual standpoint, but there is an absolute perfect version of ourselves, and we see ourselves as imperfect in this version of life. So if you're in the midst of a meditation, what my spiritual advisor had suggested is to visualize and ask to borrow whatever you feel is missing from your life from that perfect self, whether it's beauty, whether it's confidence, whether it's happiness, joy, fulfillment. But there is that access to it out there, just like you just said, and it's just finding access to that, whatever your means might be.
I love it.
Yeah, it's
definitely.
Yeah, and so I know you said you always saw yourself. I think you even future talked your way into your first Google job, right? I remember that was one of the most astounding things when we first met. I think it was at a charity event several years back, and you told me that, you know, you set your sights on Google and you just knew. Like, it, that's the other thing too, is it's a knowing. It's not like a believing, it's an actual knowing. Like, you knew without a shadow of a doubt you were going to go and work at Google. You were going to be XYZ successful at a certain
age. Because I already believed it in this way, that it's already going on top of me, you know, like this version of myself is already going on. And so that intrinsic knowledge that this is what I want, and then this is, you know, like this is the version of myself that I'm presenting, you know, even now, it's, you know, it's always important to kind of think of like what's next, you know, like what's next version of yourself. Because if you become so, you know, happy and content in your day-to-day life, but you're not actively, it's called like the multiple mountain theory, your next mountain of, you know, what you want. And, you know, it's really important to like spend some time, you know, meditating or visualizing or spending some time for yourself to really, you know, I think a lot of people have a lot of confusion or anger in their life because they don't necessarily know what they want, right? So once you kind of become more clear of that and knowing, it's worked for me, you know, like countless times. Like the Forbes list too was something that I, you know, bounced off my friends. And I think the more you share it with people that you trust and that understand what you're doing, because it's not a lie, right? It's kind of the lie that became the truth.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot of successful people that do this too. Like, you know, even Lady Gaga's first album was called The Fame, right? And so she was like, it's The Fame, you know, I'm famous. But she was never famous, like when, you know, she first
it was made
out,
up it was her reality was.
But you just kept saying it, and it's just knowing that you will, or that you are already, it's like a mindset, you know. So, and then, yeah, so it's definitely really fun and definitely something that's always been a part of me, and I'm so happy I have this opportunity to totally, you know, share it with your audience.
I know. I'm so excited because you and I have just had some of the most profound conversations that I've had with anybody in this lifetime, at least, because I love that we're on the same page and we can always bounce these ideas off of each other. And the visualization thing is such a big thing, because for about the last year, I knew I wanted to do more public speaking. And so I would wake up every day, and part of my meditation would be visualizing me walking out onto a huge stage with just people as far as the eye could see. And I don't know if I've even told you this yet, but about 2 weeks ago, I gave a speech and I was expecting it to be like a little breakout session, maybe 40 people, and I get to the room and the room is just filled, wall-to-wall chairs, 400 to 500, room for 400 to 500 people. And right before I just walked in to do this podcast with you, I just got feedback from the people at the conference that I had the most attended conference breakout session at the conference with the highest ratings of like 93 to 94 percentile approval ratings. But yeah, and the reason I give this example, though, it's like what you're saying, it's because I saw it in my mind's eye first. Like, I saw myself just confidently walking out onto that stage, and I created who I was going to be. I was going to be empowering, empowered, inspirational, motivating.
Yep.
And it's about setting those intentions, which is important no matter who you are. If you're going on a first date, or if you're going, you know, you could be going out for a job interview. It's setting that intention of how you want others to be left and how you want to be left feeling as well. So it's about generating that being, which I think you touched on earlier, is so important.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, some people are more visual and some people are more
audio
with communication and writing. And I think some people write the attributes, like write them down, and that's good too. But then also doing the visual mood boards like you did. I remember even seeing your mood board.
The one in the bathroom.
Yeah, but you had the picture of Dubai and like all of the
private jet and first class.
And the private jet and like everything that you saw yourself doing, you completely did this year, you know, like this year or last year. And that's exactly, you know, the same thing that I did for me. So it's an amazing, and there's a couple of tricks, like the ones that we just shared today, and then you can become stronger and more powerful. And I think as more and more you do this, the shorter and shorter the time is between when you dream about it and then when it actually comes through.
The results.
Yeah, like when you actually do.
Yeah, you just made me think of the thing with Dubai. I'll never forget you and I were sitting in my kitchen and talking about the hotel in Dubai and the airport. And for me, I'd always dreamed, it's like, oh my gosh, if only I could fly Emirates business class. And so I started to have a conversation because I was going to Africa. And the conversation went something like, I'm going to Africa and I know I'm going to fly business class. I don't know what it looks like because it's a $12,000 ticket and I'm certainly willing to spend the money, but I'm creating that a better option is going to present itself. And I remember you and I having several talks about this. And a month before my trip, everything else was booked. And I got an email that should have gone to my junk mail. And it was from my Alaskan Airlines credit card. I forgot I had miles with. And it said, we just partnered with Emirates. And I'm thinking to myself, no way, this has to be a gag. So I called them up. And I must have told you this story at some point. I called them up and I asked them, well, how much is it for me to fly business class from LAX to Cape Town, Cape Town back to Dubai and back to LAX? And they said, oh, it's about $150 US in taxes plus your points. I'm like, are you kidding? I just went from spending $12,000 to 150, but it's a perfect example of just creating a conversation for what's possible.
Definitely. And it doesn't even have to be materialistic items too.
True.
Like
yes.
Those are a lot of things, but you could also do, you know, attributes about yourself. So I want to be happy, successful, you know, surround myself with, you know, people that, you know, bring me up. Those types of things too, that I think on a daily basis, you know, you're kind of, I think, you know, our mind is definitely a magnet and we put out that energy that, you know, we definitely attract the right people if you're in that same mind space. So it's just really important to kind of like train your mental muscle, you know, like just keep doing that and keep saying, you know, positive and, you know, optimistic towards everything and be around great, awesome friends like yourself to you know, be supportive on the journey. Definitely.
Well, can I share with everybody, or I would love for you to share, actually, when you and I had lunch in Silicon Valley a few years ago, and you and I had just started hanging out maybe a year or so before that, and we're sitting there having lunch, and so we're future talking, and I think you had said something to the effect of, oh yeah, and Obama and I just had lunch and hung out, and then I'm on Richard Branson's standby jet to the moon. So I think it was like 2 or 3 months later after that, there's a picture with you and Obama. I'm like, Joey, only you. Of course, only you could do that. And then if I recall, you're still on the standby list for Richard Branson's first jet to the moon, correct?
Yeah, and that's an amazing example too. I totally, you know, forgot that I was doing that, because I said that I was going to have dinner with Obama, and, you know, was talking to him, and we were talking as if, you know, it was actually going on.
Yeah, we were having like a current happening conversation.
And so then, you know, the opportunity presented itself, and, you know, basically, you know, I was able to fulfill that, and had, you know, an amazing conversation and photo with him. And that's one of, I would say, probably, you know,
hundreds.
many things that I do. And I think it's always important, like I said, even for myself, to keep learning that these things do work, and it, you know, definitely takes kind of time. But if you keep, you know, working at it, keep adding to your mood board and your visualizations, you know, you can literally do anything. Like, there's nothing, nobody that you can't meet. There's really anything that you, you know, want, or, you know, it's possible. It's just, you know, it's, I'm definitely a firm believer in that. And, there's a lot of great books on this.
Oh, yeah. Have you read the book? I meant to ask you, by the way. There's a great book. It was the first book of this nature that I had read years ago, called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Did you ever read that one?
Yes.
I love that book. It was one of my favorites. Yeah. And he talks about even visualizing, having conversations with past presidents and mentors who guided him. And I think that a lot of wildly successful people have done that sort of thing, where you might even ask a person who, whether it's a celebrity or somebody who's passed away, you might ask them for advice and create these fictitious conversations in your mind that might not be based in reality, but you still might get some wonderful insights out of it. And I know that that was one of the takeaways I got from Napoleon Hill's book.
Yeah, the more successful people I meet out here, the millionaires and billionaires, those types of people, they all have their own very similar form of this. I mean, I think Jim Carrey has in the book, you know, The Secret, the $1 million check, right? So he wrote himself the $1 million check, and that's like one example of, you know, kind of seeing the zeros on the check being written. And just, you know, seeing that the ink and the pen and the paper hits the paper and your name on it and the signature, and just being very, you know, just even like with Oprah, what she did with her house, and, you know, she wanted to know what kind of events she was going to have, what kind of people were coming to her house, like that level of detail that you can start thinking about and imagining. So it's definitely, I'm so glad that, you know, for sharing this too.
It's so important, because people look at, say, your life or my life, and I just got back from a ball in Saint-Tropez with princes and princesses and was helicoptering it in, and people say, oh, you're lucky. And of course, you know about this, but it's not luck. It's really intentional. It's about being intentional. And it's funny, because what you just brought up about the $1 million check thing, I had forgotten that when I first became successful as a recruiter, I taught every person in my company to cross out the number that was on their check and write down how much they would make. And until I was at Agape a couple weeks ago, my spiritual center, and they had this wonderful speaker, Cynthia somebody or other, who was talking, and she mentioned writing herself a $100,000 check, and she was on Star Search back in the day, and then lo and behold, she makes it to the finale, and Ed McMahon hands her a $100,000 check. Well, what's funny about that is I forgot I was doing that when I had first started to experience some level of success in my early 20s, and so I was like, okay, well, you know, I've been very fortunate. My business has done well. What would it be like to actually write myself a $1 million check? Not just what the business does, but actually to have that be my take home. So I wrote myself a $1 million distribution check, and I put it on my mirror in the bathroom. And here I was having a party for some of my guests who we were all going to go to this ball in Saint-Tropez. And at first, the thought that crossed my mind, they were coming over to my house for like a pre-ball soiree, is that, oh, I should probably put that check away because they're going to think I'm ridiculous for having that check in my bathroom. And then I thought a second, I'm like, you know what? No, this is who I am as a human being. This is a reflection of what I'm up to. And we wound up having this great conversation about it. And the minute I wrote that check, my business was already doing great, just started thriving beyond my wildest dreams. And it's the thing I think that a lot of people are nervous about, and I would love your opinion on this, is that I think people feel shameful about trying to talk about making money or being successful or going to a ball or taking Richard Branson's, you know, private shuttle to the moon. I think that there's a certain level of shame that sometimes as human beings we're taught, depending on if it's your parents or how you're raised, that it's bad if you have too much money, or it's bad to have $1 million check. But when you actually embrace it and realize the good you can do in the world, and that for every extra dollar you make, that's an extra dollar that you could do something miraculous with that you wouldn't otherwise have access to. I think it's about having that perspective too.
I think that's definitely something that is definitely I've learned too with my friends who, you know, we want to be successful and be famous, and I think it's for the right reasons, right? So if you're doing it for ego, that's not the best reason, but I think it's a good thing to be famous, to have a platform that you can share your message to millions of people and to reach people, like, and share a good message, and think of fame more in that way, with influence, you know, and money with influence, that you're just a portal, basically, yes, a vessel,
a message
from, you know, taking you know, money and funneling it into your projects that will do good for the world. And it's more of a selfless thing than, you know, it's, you know, a me thing than I just want, you know.
Yeah, I want money because I want a new Prada bag, or because I want to fly first. And I think it's finding that balance, like you just said, because there's nothing wrong with wanting something and desiring something, as long as it's not always just about you. It's always about giving back, like tithing and giving back to communities and helping, you know, whether you believe in building schools or education or whatever makes you happy. That's like the most priceless thing in the world. Like, you could fly first class a million times, and I know it may sound cliche to the people who are out there, or you could go and invest that money and help one, you know, community build a school or buy books for kids who don't have access to it. And that's worth more than any first class flight. And it's about, it's not bad though to have both. It's okay to be able to contribute to the world and have that platform, as long as you hit the nail right on the head, as long as you don't do it from a place of ego and you do it from a place of contribution and spirit.
And I think ambition and confidence is always a good thing to have. I don't think, you know, anybody could be dream too big or, you know, anything. I don't think that's, you know, possible. And I think as long as you're doing it in a way that's, you know, people love that. People love getting the energy from you when you talk about your big ambitions and what you want to do. That's, you know, actually, you know, not just your regular person, but like, you know, you really think, you think big and then think even bigger. So I think that's contagious. And I think that's a really good quality to have.
Yeah, and I'll never forget one of my clients last year, one of my top clients. It was kind of funny because she sat me down to lunch and she said, "Jen, I'm moving to Oregon and it's because of you." And I was like, "Excuse me?" And she said, "Well, I follow you on Facebook and I've seen that you love your life and I see how happy you are and fulfilled every day and that you do something you love." And she said, "I want that for my life." And she was making great money in a great job. She uprooted herself, moved to Oregon where she had some family, and is now on her way to a brand new career doing something she's passionate about. And I think that's what it all comes down to, is realizing it's never too late to get out of bed every day and find your passion project or get trained in something new. Because I think so many times, you know, people will get to be the age of 30 or 40 or whatever age it might be and come up with this made up story that it's too late to do something they love. And so they become resigned and cynical and miserable in a job that they do for the rest of their days until they retire. You know, I think it's really unfortunate that that's how a lot of people spend their lives.
Definitely.
And so one thing I want to pick your brain on is your spiritual, your chief spiritual officer. I remember the first time you told me about that. And so as a successful entrepreneur and businessman, what role and how important is your chief spiritual officer to your organization?
Very important, because I think Silicon Valley has traditionally been known as being very robotic, being very non-emotional when it comes to leadership. And I think within the last three years, it's been more focused towards empathy and emotion and showing your vulnerability and actually making you more human. And that actually makes you a better leader. So I think having a CSO who was my chief spiritual officer, who basically takes in, you know, readings, personality tests. So there's an amazing book called Ego versus EQ, which I highly recommend. She's my executive coach, Jen, and she basically wrote this whole book on emotional intelligence and how to raise your emotional intelligence. And so what the CSO, you know, kind of does is basically take your Myers-Briggs, takes your personality tests, and being able to understand people on a human emotional level, because you're working together, usually in a startup, very, very closely together for hours on end. And, you know, I think the importance of showing empathy and emotion towards your employees definitely makes you a stronger, better leader, and, you know, be able to communicate and to, you know, connect with each other on a deeper level and, you know, motivate and help each other rather than just trying to see as being this ivory tower, you know, leader, CEO who's unattainable, but making you actually appear more human that, you know, people really respect and trust. And so I think doing all the personality tests with, you know, your employees, and then, you know, she was even seeing how, you know, Myers-Briggs ties in with astrology, and, you know, seeing how there could be, you know, common similarities between personalities and, you know, what to look out for. And so I love it because I think it's definitely the way a company should be running. And, you know, it's the more efficient way of running companies. And I think more and more companies now in Silicon Valley are changing from that old school mindset to the newer age, especially with like the newer generation of people that really believe that, you know, this is very important. Like, this is something that, you know, we need to have a good heart and have good energy. And, you know, we can't just do something that in our personal, you know, that we wouldn't do in our personal life, in our business life, just because it's just business. I think that's a cop out. I think we need to have, you know, good moral ethics and integrity in the next big, you know, Google or Facebook or, you know, Snapchat that comes out, that will be intrinsic in the DNA of the company.
Yeah, I think you hit on a key word there. It's integrity. I think that spirituality and integrity are going hand in hand nowadays. And it's really about having integrity in everything we do. I think for a long time, people didn't care about the quality of the work or the impact, the cost and the impact on the human beings who were at work. And like you said, whether we're talking about Silicon Valley or we're talking about the global market, we've seen a huge shift to a lot more care about the quality of the human beings who work in a variety of offices and a variety of professions. And I think it's great that Silicon Valley and a lot of the tech world is embracing that. And on my end, from the recruitment side of things, I will be so excited once I see the trickle-down effect, because obviously Silicon Valley kind of sets the bar and the standard for a lot of the world nowadays. And I think it'll be amazing once we see that trickle-down effect to all employees. But it starts with integrity and just being honest and doing the right thing. So I think it's a great time. And I remember you and I were talking at lunch, too. It was funny. I think your chief spiritual officer knows my business coach, Julian, right? Because they were both doing the human design thing for us.
Yes.
Such a small world. And that transformed my business, quite honestly, because when I opened my company 7 years ago and hired my first employee 5 years ago, I was a terrible manager. I didn't know the first thing. Mm-hmm. I was taught, you know, to emulate, you know, being a tough boss and be tyrannical and you didn't do this right. And it never once occurred to me to be empathetic or compassionate or to observe somebody else's perspective until my business coach told me, oh, by the way, your employees are designed differently than you. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And each of them is designed different from the other one. And when you start to understand the dynamics of how we're designed as human beings and that each of us has our own purpose and our own way of being effective in our world, no matter what that world is, I think that it gives you a sense of semblance and an ability to build a foundation of connectability and, you know, just to be able to create a successful foundation for a company. I'm sure you've done it because you've created more than one company, right? A couple?
Yes. So definitely my first one got acquired, and then I have this on my third company, and then, you know, so I'm constantly hiring, you know, want the best talent. I think it's important for definitely employees to see that now that it's, you know, intrinsic in the DNA and just being able to, because I was the same way 5 years ago. Like, I was focused on building the product, you know, really good at designing and engineering, but not so well at building the company, which is a whole nother skill set.
I think
I've learned a lot from these, you know, Five Dysfunctions of a Team is another great business book that I recommend. And the emotional, How to Raise Your Emotional Intelligence, Ego versus EQ, the book that I mentioned. Because I think, you know, you could build a company, but, you know, to have people enjoy what they're do and, you know, be happy and stick around, you know, keeping your top people is all, you know, definitely really important. You know, to keep the and always, you know, never think that your skills trump communication, right? So we never thought that empathy or this type of thing is important, but it's actually the most important thing. It's even more important than your skill set. You know, it's the most important thing for, you know, creating a happy culture and company that people want to work at. So
yeah,
definitely learned that.
Well, before we wrap up on a couple of things, why don't you tell our listeners some of the projects that you're in the midst of right now? Because I know you're about to launch. Are we allowed to talk about the Periscope-like project that you're working on?
Yeah, so definitely. So I definitely recommend, I'm JP on Twitter, so it's just at JP.
That's how you know you're an early adopter.
Me there. Yeah, it's easy to remember. And so my company is called Super Future, and we are creating this amazing mobile startup studio in Palo Alto where we come up with our own ideas and also collaborate with a lot of companies to create really beautiful, like, mobile consumer type applications. So the big one that we're working on right now is actually working with a company called XO, and they do a lot of beautiful fashion technology where, you know, we're projecting, you know, videos and images onto clothing and designing
exciting.
That app. And then the one that we're launching this summer is around live video, because I always believe that live video and creating these shared experiences, we're just at the very beginning of that with Periscope and Meerkat, and seeing what else that we could do even further by matching people doing the same thing at the same time.
Oh.
And so we're going to be launching that on iOS this summer. So you can check that out. It's at superfuturelabs.com, and you can check out all of our projects there.
Oh, that's so exciting. Well, great. Well, just because a lot of our listeners out there might be job seekers or looking to change one thing to another, is there any advice or anything that you would give to somebody who's either in a job they're unhappy in or about to transition careers, given all this amazing knowledge that you have with Future Talking and these great tools?
Mm-hmm.
What piece of advice would you give to somebody who's in a situation that they're not happy in, even a relationship for that matter? What would you recommend that they do?
I would definitely recommend to zoom out of your life, almost put yourself in third person and just write down exactly the next things that you want to have, either as like a bullet list items of things that you want, or visualize it onto, you know, images that you pull from Google Images of where you want to go, what you want to do, and then being very persistent at it. So if you're at a job that, you know, you're interviewing for, constantly being persistent, you know, at the, you know, to the interviewer, ping them every, you know, so often to just really, you know, show that you're interested. And I think, you know, when the timing is right, if you, you know, it definitely aligns on both sides, then, you know, you can successfully do that. But you just really have to have persistence and passion to, you know, keep following up. And, you know, I think a lot of it, even with companies, you know, raising funding or hiring people, you're constantly pitching and constantly getting rejection, but you have to, you know, keep doing it. And the ones that you see on, you know, Forbes or TechCrunch are just, you know, like the investors say, are just the ones that said yes, but you don't see all the ones that said, you know, no as well. So you just have to, I would just say persistence is the number one attribute for success, definitely.
Yeah, it's all about tenacity. You're absolutely right, because I remember I sat next to one of the original investors of Uber, and look at what Uber's done, and here he is sitting next to me on a plane in Southwest. I'm like, so, you know, and this was before it had even really taken off, and he's like, yeah, we're a little bit surprised by Uber's success. These guys came to us with this, like, crazy idea, and we're like, sure, we'll fund it. What are we thinking? And they said that their investors are just astounded at the level of success. And so you never know when you might have that one idea that could revolutionize technology, the way we live, the way we work, anything. And I think, like you said, it's about being tenacious and just being unafraid to be happy. I think so many of us thrive on the drama in life, that if you actually notice and you can choose to actively participate or not participate in the gossip and the drama, it ties back around to integrity. Part of having integrity is, if you're up to creating big things in your life, you have to be very conscious and aware and consciously choose every day who you surround yourself with people with. And it's not to say that you don't want to be empathetic if a friend is going through a hard time. But I remember just last week, somebody was going through a really rough time and had something stolen from her. And I think most people would have told her, oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, he's a jerk. That's awful. And instead, I said, well, you know, here's the thing. People are going to do what they're going to do. And the only thing we have a choice in is how we're going to respond to it. And it was so funny because I had sent her, I'm not sure if you've heard this one or not, but I had sent her this phrase that you can say to, that my business coach taught me, to remove negativity or bad energy between you and another person. And the phrase is, I apologize, please forgive me, thank you for being in my life so that I may love you. And the funniest thing was, Joey, the minute I texted her this, she's in another part of the world, she Facebooked me back and she said, Jen, that's the Ho'oponopono prayer. I have it saved on my phone. I needed to hear that. And that's what it's all about. It's about vibrating at a different level and lifting not only your own consciousness, but the consciousness of everybody around you, because it's easy to fall into the gossip mongering and the drama and being the dramatic one. But it's a lot more empowering to choose and actively participate in the things that you want to in your life and not let yourself get derailed by negativity or bad conversations.
Yeah. And raising your frequency level and being self-aware of that and constantly raising it so you do vibrate or you do are on that same frequency as other people that are, you know, that you want to attract.
Yeah, you'll naturally attract those people. And in fact, you made me think of something. Have you ever read the book Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Weiss?
Yes, you told me about that one too a couple years ago. I love that.
One of my favorites. I got to hear Brian speak in Atlanta earlier this year, and it's funny because in the book, Brian talks about past lives, which I'd never heard of or really believed in up until I started learning about his work. And the funny thing was, I guess because he's dealing theoretically with spirits, if you believe in that sort of a thing, and people said to Brian, "Brian, why don't you ever deal with ghosts or negative spirits or negative entities?" And he said, "I'm vibrating at such a high frequency that people who are at that negative level or spirits that are at that negative level aren't even going to be able to interact with me because we're at a completely different frequency and vibration." And to bring that full circle to our conversation, the same is true of people who are alive in this life, is that if you're at a certain frequency of negativity, saying everything is hard all the time, you will absolutely attract the same, as opposed to, like you said, surrounding yourself with people who lift up the vibration and the frequency of their consciousness.
And so, yay, I love it.
I know. I love it, too. Well, Joey, any other books that you'd recommend? I know you mentioned a couple of awesome ones. Ego versus EQ, I think, was one. We talked about Think and Grow Rich. Any other last-minute books or anything you'd like to refer our listeners to?
I think Five Dysfunctions of a Team is a really good business book that really shows, you know, how everything, you know, is built on trust and foundation and how to, you know, build a great company. And then... yeah, I think the ones that you mentioned as well. But then I also have a lot, you know, on Twitter I mention or I, you know, quote from. So, you know, feel free to follow me on there for more advice or, you know, in this type of realm of kind of combining spirituality and technology and business and success and career growth and things like that. So.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so happy to have you on the show. For those of you who are listening, this is Joey Pramani. Again, you can find him at JP on Twitter. And he has been our guest today speaking about future talking, a very, very powerful thing that no matter who you are or what your background is, you can definitely utilize to help yourself find your dream job, your dream career, or your dream relationship, whatever that may look like for you. And next week, you can tune in Michael John Derricotte, the founder of a wonderful local charity here called Makeovers That Matter, is going to be joining us, and possibly a vet from his program, Makeovers That Matter, will be joining us as well. And the program is devoted to helping veterans get back to work and making them over, not only physically, but on a mind, body, and spirit level. So it ties in perfectly to what we're talking about today. So thank you again for tuning in. This is Jennifer Hill with Get Yourself the Job and our guest, Joey Pramani. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.